The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
We're going to be talking today about the book Plant Fuel, delicious, nutritious meals to fuel your body and support a healthy lifestyle. Welcome to the show, author Jeffrey Bodie.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So these are all plant-based recipes, are they?
Yes, they all fully plant-based as a result of my shift to a plant-based diet around 8.5 years ago. So, yeah, lots of really delicious recipes, high protein, high fiber, and almost like a proof that, you know, if you want to reduce or eliminate meat from your diet, you're not going to go missing in terms of these key nutrients that are going to support health and, you know, training and recovery and things like that. So, yeah, that's basically been the process.
Can I ask why, Jeffrey, why you decided to go plant-based?
I mean, it was pretty random, if I'm being completely honest with you. At the time, I was becoming quite inquisitive about a lot of things with like health and wellness. And I've had a background in, you know, semi-professional football and playing at lower levels in the pro game in Austria and Norway as well. So I've always trained and had kind of, you know, nutrition to a degree. I mean, my thought process was like meat for protein, milk for calcium. So it was very limited. And at the time, my sister told me about a documentary called What the Health. And she told me about it in 2017, August. And I watched it, and I watched it twice actually on the same day. And after the second time that I watched it, I was like, right, I'm going to give this plant-based thing a try. I remember my last meal was a prawn stir fry, which tasted amazing.
Because you knew it was your last.
Yeah. But after that, I kind of just muddled around a little bit with a plant-based diet, but also just really dived into a lot of research because I was thinking, you know, I've had a history in sport. I want to train. I still want to build muscle in the gym and stay fit. So how is this way of eating going to support that? So then kind of just got through the process and was just trial and error and exploring new foods. And after 2 weeks, I felt absolutely incredible. My sleep was improved. I felt lighter. I felt like I had more energy, more mental clarity. And then I just continued from there. And obviously, you know, 8.5 years later, we have a book that kind of is reflective of my ethos around plant-based nutrition and all the research that I've done around how to get enough protein and fiber and all the micronutrients that you need for good health.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, actually. I mean, there's no doubt everybody's saying how good it is for you and how healthy it is. But what about protein and calcium and things that you might be missing out on?
It's not a case of missing out on them. It's more just being aware of how to get them. And what I will say is that if you're going to go down a diet, the route of, you know, adopting a plant-based diet or a plant-predominant diet, you do have to have a little bit more kind of knowledge and awareness of where you're going to get certain nutrients from. So, of course, with protein, you know, you've got meat, chicken and fish, you know, steak and all these different options. And it's quite easy to get your protein intake. But with the plant-based side of things, you just have to be a bit more aware. So you've obviously got sources like tofu and tempeh and seitan, which is like wheat gluten. Then you've obviously got beans, lentils, chickpeas, things like that. And then with foods like calcium, you want to be looking at foods like bok choy, dark leafy greens, tahini. A lot of the plant milks nowadays are fortified with calcium, which is really good. So it's just that little bit of awareness that you need to have. It does take a bit more planning, does take a bit more awareness. But once you dial that in, eventually over time, you know, it becomes second nature. So for me, it's a case of it's automatic now. I don't necessarily have to think about it so much. But of course, when you're starting out, you do have to get that bit of knowledge to make sure you get things right.
Yeah. I was reading that it can help you stay energized and build muscle and feel great. What if you want to feel energized, you want to be healthy, but you don't necessarily want to build muscle? I guess you just have to go to the gym to do that part, do you?
Yeah. I mean, of course, it's, you know, I think the foods support what you may do in the gym. And actually, you know, on a separate conversation, I think people building muscle, and not necessarily, you know, you don't have to be a bodybuilder or anything like that. Just building a good amount of skeletal muscle is actually really, really good for aging in terms of, you know, one of the age-related diseases that we see it once people hit sort of 50, 60 and beyond is sarcopenia, which is muscle loss. And that can increase the risk of fractures and those, you know, those issues that may happen further down the line. So, you know, there have been so many videos that I've seen recently of people getting their parents onto strength training. And I did this as well with my dad, who's in his late 70s, just getting and moving like twice a week, and it's really, really beneficial in terms of your brain health, your overall energy, and just being more robust as you get older. So yeah, I mean, obviously the recipes in the book are great in that regard, but of course they taste great. They've got, you know, plenty of micronutrients for energy and vitality and things like that. But I would say building muscle is a great thing, but maybe I'm being biased.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're definitely not boring. I've got a list of some of the things that are in your book. We've got kebabs, we've got Massaman curry, one of my personal favourites. But what about desserts, Jeffrey? Are the desserts in there too?
There are. And I'm a guy who loves dessert. You know, I'm a big believer in, you know, eat healthy. I like the 80-20 principle for most people, right? You know, eat well and stay dialed in 80% of the time. But 20% of the time, have a bit of flexibility within reason, of course. So I think desserts are important. I'm a big cheesecake guy. I absolutely love cheesecake.
Me too.
If it's the best dessert for me. I think it's unrivaled. If I go to, you know, for a meal with friends and there's cheesecake on the menu, I'm not going to think twice about getting it, right? I think it's about your lifestyle. I don't think we need to seek perfection when it comes to our health. So that's why I got some desserts into the book. And, you know, they've even got some health benefits as well. You've got some fiber-rich desserts. You've got my chocolate protein brownies. You've got some protein in there, hemp seeds and chia seeds for omega-3s as well, which are really good for brain health, eye health, and the health of your heart and cardiovascular system. Cheesecakes were in there as well. I've got a berry nice cream, so it's like an ice cream made from frozen berries and banana, which is really good. So I don't think we have to be in a state of restriction when we're trying to be healthy and trying to get healthy foods into our diet. I think we can adopt, you know, an umbrella of largely healthier foods, but of course we can find space to enjoy as well.
Yeah, I think the worst thing you can do is restrict yourself, because you just want it even more, don't you?
Absolutely, exactly that. And it's funny because, just slightly off topic, I don't know if you've seen the viral Biscoff cheesecake in Greek yogurt thing that's been going around. Yeah, so I wrote a couple of newsletters about it this week because I think it's really interesting. It almost convinces us that, you know, we can almost like dress up healthy foods with these kind of, you know, cheesecake and these types of things. But in my mind, I'm just like, just have the real thing, because our brains are going to be, we're almost trying to trick our biology and our brains into thinking that we're having the real thing, but we're not. So you're going to end up eating the viral Biscoff cheesecake and then just wanting the normal one after. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, and I do agree with you on the 80-20 rule. Don't feel guilty. A lot of people, especially at this time of the year, you know, have started New Year's resolutions. I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to be fit.
Yeah.
You know, if you do have that Biscoff cheesecake, don't beat yourself up about it. It doesn't mean you failed.
Absolutely. Absolutely that. I think that's a very good point. I think psychology is a very core part of health. And I think maybe that's, you know, underappreciated a lot of the time, where, you know, I think most of us know exactly what we have to do, but either we put too much pressure on ourselves or we don't maybe feel that we're worthy of certain things. I think you can be very, very healthy. Me, I personally, I adopt, like, you know, 90% of the time, I'm very, very healthy. And, you know, with my sleep and my training and my nutrition. But I like cheesecake and I like certain things. And I'm, you know, I might have a late night out with friends and family, and all of these things feed into health, right? So you just got to know how to do it and how to go about it in the best possible way.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there are 80 recipes in the book, and it says that you also have protein and fiber counts for every recipe.
Yes, I do. I think that's, I thought I really wanted to do it. I didn't want to go for the calorie side of things. I do feel like the calorie conversation, while it can be important in some contexts, it can be quite reductive for some people. And maybe, you know, people see higher calories, that equals worse outcomes. But actually, you know, you've got foods like avocado, which are super healthy, but they may be slightly higher in calories because they're a source of healthy fats. But with protein and fiber, I think, because these are two really important things, and particularly fiber as well, I think 95% of people in the UK aren't hitting the recommended minimum of 30 grams of fiber per day. So I think by having those fiber counts, it just allows people to be more aware of, okay, I'm getting towards that target and maybe even beyond. And that's going to be really beneficial for digestive health, for all of these other elements and gut bacteria, you know, in developing that as well. So, and of course, protein for people who train in the gym and want to hit a certain amount of protein during the day, it's also really good. But just for the general person as well, because again, I think protein is a really important macronutrient, and not even just for building muscle, but for building enzymes and hormones and hair, skin and nails and things like that. So just having that awareness and knowing what you're getting in those meals, I thought was a really good idea. So that's why I wanted to get that in there.
Yeah, very good idea. Now, you're going to share a recipe with us, and I have looked on the internet to try and pronounce this, and it does say to pronounce it literally. So it's going to be a gochujang tofu stir fry.
That's the one. The one, you got it. Gochujang, yeah.
Gochujang, that's better. Gochujang. So how do we make that then?
So it's a really straightforward and simple one, and it's actually on the front cover of the book because it's arguably my favorite recipe in the book for a number of reasons. It tastes incredible and it's really quick to put together. So you would make yourself some udon noodles, so you can go with brown rice udon or your standard udon noodles if you want to. And then you make a gochujang sauce, so you'll use it. So gochujang, for a bit of reference, is like a Korean paste. It's got a very, almost like a sweet, sharp, tangy, umami flavor to it, and it really kind of cuts through a lot of dishes, which is, you know, really, really tasty. So you'll get that in there. You maybe add some olive oil, some rice wine vinegar, a bit of maple syrup for sweetness, just to balance it out a little bit. A bit of garlic in there as well. And then you'll steam some bok choy. So you add your bok choy, and then of course you'll pan fry your tofu. You cube up your tofu and pan fry it with a bit of seasoning. And then essentially you just mix it all together, and then you'll top it with some sesame seeds, and you've got a lunch that you can make in pretty much sort of under 20 minutes. It's in the fast fuel section of the book. Tastes amazing. And as I said, just for, you know, I think one of the biggest barriers for a lot of people actually to eating healthy is time, right? Mm-hmm. I think people feel like they don't have enough time to, you know, put together a meal. They feel like they have to put some gourmet 45-minute, three-course meal together to be healthy, but you really don't. You know, you can really lean into meals that take 15 to 20 minutes that are going to be healthy and allow you to get on with the rest of your day with whatever you have to do. So I feel like the gochujang tofu stir-fry fits that bill. So that's why it's arguably my favourite recipe in the book.
Yeah, sounds lovely. Sounds really nice. Well, our listeners can find out more from the book, which is called Plant Fuel, Delicious, Nutritious Meals to Fuel Your Body and Support a Healthy Lifestyle. It's by Jeffrey Bodie, who we're chatting to now. And do you have a website, Jeffrey, if people want to find out more about you?
Yes, I do. So my website is just www.jeffreyboydie.com. I write some newsletters there, so I drop a newsletter every Monday which shares recipes, tips, ideas around health and well-being and plant-based nutrition. You can find my Instagram as well, which is just my name, Jeffrey Boydie. So that's where I share the majority of my content, my recipes, my ideas. Obviously, you know, working with different organizations and different brands to kind of further the message of health and well-being. It's important to note as well that while my book is plant-based, I'm not someone who's dogmatic, right? You know, you sometimes see people within the space who have a very kind of dogmatic approach where they say to people, you must adopt this plant-based diet. I think it's well established that getting more plants into our diet, a wider variety of fruits and vegetables and nuts and seeds, whole grains and legumes, is going to be really beneficial for health. But I'm not someone who's going to push that this needs to be the specific diet. But I think my book, my idea behind the book is to allow people to get more of these foods into the diet across the day and just see how it benefits their health long term. So yeah.
I think that's a good idea. I mean, it's something that I've sort of always shied away from, but you've sort of practically sold it to me. It's not something I have to do, but it's certainly something I'm willing to give a try, and maybe not do it 100%, maybe just do it
Absolutely.
5 days a week. So
do it in the way that it works best for your lifestyle. I think, you know, not everyone can adopt the same diet because everyone's circumstance is different, right? It's about using the tool, which is the book, and seeing how it can get, you know, work into your lifestyle. Like, you know, one of the favorite messages that I get on my social media is when someone tells me, hey Jeffrey, I'm not plant-based, but you've allowed me to get more recipes into my diet. I'm feeling healthier. I like this lifestyle. It's more balanced, as opposed to preaching to the choir. Do you know what I mean? So yeah.
You don't like somebody forcing it down your throat, do you?
Absolutely.
I'm with you. Well, Jeffrey, thank you for your time today, and I'll let you know how I get on.
Thank you so much. Please do. All the
thank
best.
You. Take care. Bye bye.
Take care. Bye bye.